This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Listen to KFH Radio for your chance at the ultimate trip to Vegas in March. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, listen to KFH Radio. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. Includes travel and accommodations for four to Las Vegas, plus $20,000 spending cash. Get all the info with the national contest right there at KFHradio.com. Stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim. Welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. Here we go with another hour. You can always leave us your video comments. Those are available to you on X, on YouTube. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. You can call us the old-fashioned way. Max is there taking your calls at 869-1240, or you can leave voice messages through the Odyssey app. Happy to be here with you. I have Tim Fitzgerald later this hour to talk K-State. We've been talking a lot of different things in the first hour. Want to bring up Rick's comment on KU. Amazing how many people say, you know, it's different now because all the teams are paying players. If KU was paying them when no one else was, why did KU players care in the past and not give a darn now? There's a lot to unpack in that question. I would surmise that Rick is implying KU has never paid players before. I think that is, to put it as nicely and politically correct as I can, a reach to think that. Of course they have. Of course, almost all teams in college basketball have in some way, form, or fashion. But it is different now because players leave and enter more freely. KU has always had a loyalty advantage, I think, in its college basketball program. Not that they don't have that now, because they do. Again, 60% of their starting lineup's been there for at least 2 years, some of it four or five. The difference is now you've got to rely a little bit more on these other players. And even if you don't, you're going to have to in the short term if you're KU, because it's more difficult now to keep players there than it ever has been. It's more difficult now to talk a freshman or a sophomore who's not getting a ton of minutes into sticking around when they could go get a ton of minutes and some cash in their pocket somewhere else. And I say this all the time. Put yourself in that kid. Pretend like you're that kid's parent. It would be a difficult decision to make to tell your son or daughter or whomever, you know what, you should turn down that $500,000 that it'll take at minimum 10, 12 years of whatever field you decide to go into in life, most likely to make that kind of, you should turn that down, and the playing time that might get you the opportunity to go play in the NBA, you should turn that down and just stick around and be unhappy. That ship has sailed, and until we get players under contract that makes them have to do that, that's a difficult ask, I think, And it's easy to say that that stuff matters, but to actually do it when there's nothing binding you to it is a pretty difficult reality. If we're being honest about it,
I think the good news in the context of KU is that I'm not sure there's going to be a whole lot of Bill Self asking and pleading for these players to come back and play again. The ones that are eligible to come back and play. I don't think there's going to have to be that. You know, hey, we'll pay you X amount of dollars to. I think it's probably going to be more like, hey, we might even pay you X amount of dollars to leave. Like maybe go somewhere else. Maybe I think that we'll see pretty much as much of a complete roster turnover as possible, I think, next season for the Jayhawks. And I know that, you know, there have been a couple of guys that have committed. One of them is extremely highly regarded in Darren Peterson, one of the top recruits in the country. And so you're going to see pretty much a complete roster shakeup, I would imagine, for KU. So I don't think that that scenario that you just lined out there, that's not going to be the reality for the Jayhawks this offseason.
No, it's not. Hopefully they at least keep Flory Badunga. And I hope some of the young players do come back that we just haven't really got a chance to see play yet, because players in Bill Self program do that all the time, where they come in and, as you know, usually it's about their sophomore season where you're like, okay, that guy's got some. Like, now we're cooking a little bit with this player. They didn't have a chance to play. But anyway, I just wanted to get to that. Your video comments always welcome. I want to touch quickly, Tommy, on the hockey. USA Canada, how into this have you become? Because I've kind of become into it now. Like, I didn't watch the first game as it was happening. I, of course, caught up with it after the chaos of the opening. And then later in the week, we've learned why there was chaos in the opening and the American players didn't like getting booed during the anthem and all that stuff. And now I'm like, hell yeah. Like, let's go. Like, let's fire this up a little bit. Like, are you doing your duty as an American patriot if you don't want to go kick Canada's tail in this game that you probably wouldn't have paid attention to otherwise?
Yeah, I'm only paying attention to the pomp and circumstance surrounding it and all of the fights and the fact that the Canadian fans are booing during the American national anthem and, like, you know, all of that. That's about all I'm paying attention to. I'm not actually watching the games. I haven't watched a minute of it. But, yeah, of course, I'm following the fact that you've got these – you know, American hockey players that they're like, you know what, we're going to go out there and it's an exhibition game, but we're going to just completely lay out Canada. For that reason, I've kept in touch on what's actually going on, but I haven't really been watching a whole lot of it.
I love it. I love national competitions like this. I get fired up for them. I love the Olympics. I love the World Cup. I love the World Baseball Classic. I love all of it. Can't get enough of it. Am I mad at Canada for, you know, making us out to be the heel, the bad guy? No, I totally get it. It's been a rough couple of months for Canada in the news. Like, I get it. I get why they do it. But that doesn't mean I have to like it. And that doesn't mean I can't get fired up over it and you know, want USA to get in there and do a little dirty work here tonight. So I think it's fun. I think it's awesome. And I think it's an interesting concept that could be, we get it in a World Baseball Classic, right? And we get it in like the Olympics and these things. But like, if you're the NBA and you're watching this, why don't you just make the All-Star game like USA versus international players and just totally feed into like why the US players are better and why international players think we're so, like, you could feed into that and have a lot of fun with it. And I wonder, like, what this will open the door to. Like, it's so funny too how this happens. I don't know that anybody would have really, outside of hockey fans, paid a whole lot of attention to this event. This, what do they call it? The four final, I don't even know what they call it.
The four nations.
Four nations. Yeah. The four nations. Nobody would have cared. And now everybody cares. Everybody cares about this. I'm telling you, even more than the struggles of KU or anything else, I don't think I've had more people send me funny videos, messages, whatever, than I have about this in the last 2 weeks. And I don't think it's particularly close. It has captured our attention. It has gone viral. It has done whatever that thing you want to talk about is. And I'm here for all of it. I love it. I think it's totally fun.
Yeah, you've got, it was interesting to kind of compare and contrast over the weekend when you had the NBA All-Star game that was widely panned and widely criticized because there was no action. I mean, it's like the Pro Bowl. Like, nobody did anything, and there was all of this crap that surrounded the actual game. You contrast that with this Four Nations deal, and you've got the USA and Canada brawling and battling in an exhibition game. Same way with the All-Star game with the NBA, but you've actually got players that, you know, give a damn, and they're actually going out there and battling for it. So I think that's what also heightened the interest level in the Four Nations, because you also had the NBA All-Star game last weekend. It was the first weekend without football in 6 months, and those were your options, were the Four Nations and the NBA All-Star game, and the NBA All-Star game was trash. So all it did was just put the Four Nations exhibition up on a pedestal.
And they took advantage of it. And credit to the players, because that was clearly something they, you know, they all knew was going to happen. Like, we're going to fight here, and we're going to fight a bunch. And like the Kachuk boys, yeah, like both getting in on it. Like it's straight out of a movie.
My
like,
favorite done hockey games. Job with my and remember, I worked for the Wichita Thunder, yeah, you know, for a couple of years. Yeah. So I was at a lot of hockey games for them. My favorite games, and you could always tell when it was going to happen, when right on the, you know, right when the opening puck dropped, the gloves come off. Like, nobody's even interested in playing right when the game starts. Usually it's like the third game in a 3-3, and the tensions have boiled over. You can tell it back, you know, in the bowels of the arena, in the tunnels, like the play, like things are going to erupt pretty quickly. And it's almost like you've got the guys on both teams that they just have an understanding. Like, they look at each other, they know, you know what, yeah, we're literally, when the puck drops to start the game, don't even go after the puck. We're just going to fight.
Those are
the best. Like, my favorite by far.
I agree, and I appreciate that hockey allows it, because, like, as somebody with four brothers, at some point, you're just going to have to get it off your chest. Like, we are dumb, smelly creatures, and sometimes we just have to go, you know, bang our heads around, yep, a little bit to get it out of our system. And then you're good. Like, you're fine. And,
my two boys are at the age now where, you know, even the youngest is almost two, and they like to wrestle. Like, they'll just wrestle each other. Yeah. And my wife is always trying to get in the middle of it. And I'm like, you got to just let them do it. Unless they're bleeding, just let them do, like, they'll work it out. It'll be fine. Just leave them alone.
Yep. We can't help it. We're born this way. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk a little more here. We got Tim Fitzgerald coming later in the hour. Don't go away. It's Sports Daily.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to spring training and opening day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. You want to win some HTO? How about right now? We give you your opportunity to win a free iced tea, more than 26 flavors. You can do that. So this coupon will be good for any cup of iced tea. While you're in there, you should also check out the new Poppy combination drinks. Are very popular. Those just launched. People are loving it. Anyway, text to win that free iced tea right now. The keyword is tea. The short code is 20357. That's tea to 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Welcome back into Sports Daily. We got Tim Fitzgerald coming up next segment to talk a little K-State as they try and get bounced back and into things the way that they need to do. We've talked a lot of college basketball in the first hour. We may get to some more of that. Free agency, Tommy, is coming in the NFL. We talk about it all the time as it pertains to the Chiefs. The quarterback situation is always interesting. There are a lot of them, quite frankly, that will be needle movers. I've asked you this before. Like, is it more about the quarterbacks that are out there, do you think, or is it more about the teams that could use one of these? And we're talking, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, potentially Sam Darnold, like guys who've had success that could, like, is it more about which one of those guys do you think, or is it more about the teams that might employ their services on a short-term basis that could really move the needle in the NFL next year?
I think it's more about the teams than it is about the actual quarterbacks. I mean, there, it's not like you've got like really overly prime quarterbacks that are available on the market. And at the same time, you don't have an overly strong quarterback draft class this year either. So the market is the market. But I think things are inflated a little bit this offseason because it's not like you really have the pick of the litter. Like the best out of the bunch available is probably Aaron Rodgers. I guess maybe Sam Darnold is probably in the mix there a little bit too.
But I think it's a question.
But it's not like it's an overly like exciting and like super deep free agent group or draft class. And so I think it lends more thought to the fact that this is more about the teams than it is about the actual quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think I do too. But I do think there will be a sorting of things among that group of players. I think Kirk Cousins back in year two after an Achilles, which we know is a long recovery process, could be a factor. I think Sam Darnold, you'd have to say, has the most upside if he would be able to get close to replicating what he did for 90% of a season a year ago. You know, guys like Justin Fields re-enter the conversation. Like, there's a lot of interesting stuff at that position, but it does feel, I agree with you, like we thought when Aaron Rodgers did this the first time, it was like he's going to go somewhere and be a difference maker. Now he wasn't, right? It didn't end up happening. Kirk Cousins is going to go somewhere and be a difference maker. Again, was not that, right? Sam Darnold was, though. And Sam Darnold would have been so far down the list of players we would have thought would be able to do that. Like nobody would have gotten that right. Now, Matt Stafford, there are questions whether he'll be in L.A. It's just an interesting quarterback offseason for different reasons. It doesn't feel like any of those guys are going to go in and make that kind of difference. But I think at least one of them will somewhere, just like Sam Darnold did a year ago. I still maintain, I think it's the 49ers that are the interesting team to watch here. And I suppose the Steelers, to me, become the two most interesting. because they're the two teams you feel like if they had a really good quarterback could potentially contend for a Super Bowl. Maybe the 49ers more than the Steelers just because of what's in the AFC to get there. But if you're, but if I'm telling you like Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers, or let's say Sam Darnold comes in and plays at a level similar to what he played at for the Vikings, that could absolutely send the Steelers on a deep postseason run. So I like, it's a lot of unknowns, but it's a lot of potential.
But do we really think, do we really honestly think that Sam Darnold with the Steelers will take them further than Russell Wilson did?
Hard to say because he's not going to have Justin Jefferson. But I will say he was definitively better than Russell Wilson.
But you know, Russell Wilson was better than he was in the previous years with the Broncos.
No,
he was fine. And Darnold kind of showed his true colors towards the end of the season for the Vikings. I think that, like, we've talked about it before, like, that's going to hurt his free agency prospects a little bit, at least the amount of money he could potentially get, just because he didn't play well to end the season at all for the Vikings.
I think it was Diana Rossini, who is with The Athletic now, who predicted or reported, and I'm taking this from the like secondhand Rich Eisen sort of said, but I think the thought is that Sam Darnold's going to make a lot of money. So I think there's a market for what he could do. I don't know what I would do if I was Sam Darnold. I would, you know, going somewhere on like a prove it 1 year, a big 1 year deal would be pretty appetizing. Or do you try to find the place that'll like guarantee you to be the guy for the next 3 or 4 years? That's an interesting conversation to have, because if Darnold ends up being willing to go do something for a year, I think there are going to be a lot of teams interested in him, a lot, and they would totally be willing to pay a lot on a 1 year basis for him just to try and extend it out. Like, you're talking the Jets would rehab interest, whether or not he would have interest back in them. The Steelers certainly would have interest at that point. I mean, there's a lot of teams that if I told you, and the Vikings, quite frankly, would probably be interested in that too. Like, you can get Darnold for 1 year. It might take you, you know, $50 million, but it's only for a year. I think there'd be a lot of teams that would be willing to do that.
I think so too. But again, the market in general with Darnold and just all the other free agent quarterbacks, Darnold's got the benefit of it not being there. There's not a whole lot of like better competition vying for services out there, you know, in the league. Like, you've got a lot of teams that are quarterback needy. There aren't a ton of quarterbacks that I think the majority of teams are going to be like falling head over heels with. Maybe like a short term little bridge gap type thing. But I don't think that, you know, any team is going to look at a guy like Sam Darnold and be like, man, he is the solution to our long term problems. But we don't have much of a choice. We need somebody. And so it's kind of like what he did with the Vikings a year ago. You sign him to a deal. You hope he can bridge that gap and, you know, do what he did for the most part with Minnesota. Again, it didn't end very well for him with the Vikings. The last couple of games of the season were basically unmitigated disasters for Sam Darnold. So, you know, he kind of like showed his true colors a little bit there, and we saw the Sam Darnold that we were used to over the course of his career. But there will be a team that will probably ignore that, and they will say, we don't really have a choice. We've got to go out and give him the money that probably overpay for him, because there aren't a whole lot of better options out there.
So would you rather have, let's just do it this way. Would you rather have Sam Darnold for $50 million, or would you rather have, who do we start with here? Or would you rather have Aaron Rodgers for $20
million? That's really difficult. Probably, gosh, I don't want to say Aaron Rodgers, because, I mean, again, Aaron Rodgers is incredibly diminished. Yeah, probably the former.
Okay.
Probably
the former. Would you rather have Darnold for 40 or Derek Carr for 15?
Probably Derek Carr for 15.
I don't think people realize the kind of start Derek Carr was off to and the kind of numbers he put up in 2 years in New Orleans. In 2023, Derek Carr threw for 3,800 yards, 25 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. In 24, before he got hurt, and 68% of his passes were completed. In 24, same completion percentage, before he got hurt, 2,100 yards, 15 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions, with a quarterback rating over 100. I agree with you, by the way. I agree. Would you rather have, let's see, would you rather have Sam Darnold for 40 or Russell Wilson for, let's call it, 10?
I hate this game. Why are you, you should answer these questions too.
These are the questions I think teams are going to have to answer. Like, if you're the Steelers, I think you have to think about it this
because
way.
Because here's the common answer that is, like, first coming to mind with every single one of these that you're asking is neither. Like, I don't really want to pick either one of them.
Oh, I don't agree with that. I think we're talking on a one-year basis. I think these are all intriguing options. If you're a good team, I'm not talking about if you're the Titans.
But I don't think that any one of these options gets your team a championship. And so I think that that's where I'm like, man, I guess I'll pick one of them. Again, it's not a...
trying to win as many games as you can.
You're right, but do we really think that any of these options that you're presenting will get any one of these teams over the hump to win a championship? Because I don't think so.
The only team that... there are two, I guess, that I would say it could would be the Vikings and the 49ers. I think the Steelers are closely behind, maybe. I think those are probably the three teams that could, with a good quarterback season, have that sort of impact. Obviously, I don't think Stafford's leaving the Rams, so I don't include him in any of this. But let me give you an even more complicated one. Would you rather have Darnold for a year and $40 million, or Brock Purdy for 5 years and $150 million?
Probably Brock Purdy.
Yeah, and it'll be more than 100. He'll make more than 30, so it'd probably be more like 200.
I don't understand all of a sudden the Niners, you know, allegedly or whatever, like, souring on Brock Purdy. Like, and maybe that's not accurate, but that certainly seems to be the discourse. You know, that they're potentially maybe not wanting to pay him or bring. I don't know. I don't understand that. I mean, he took him to a Super Bowl, so I don't get that hate.
Well, because they face the same issue that the Cowboys have faced two times now with Dak Prescott. He's a good quarterback. He's a really good quarterback. Is there any path to a... Brock Purdy wasn't that good last year. 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions on a team that was absolutely loaded. He was very good, though, the year before. Very, very good. And in 22, when he played, the end of the season was very good. The question and the problem they now face is, are you going to tie your financial flexibility for the next 4 or 5 years to him? Is he that good? It's the same decision the Cowboys faced with Dak Prescott. They've faced it twice now with Dak Prescott. And it's a really interesting question. It's the same thing the Jags faced with Trevor Lawrence. It's the same thing, like, are any of these guys good enough in their current situation to take their teams to a Super Bowl? No, Jaguars aren't going to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, we see it all the time. So then it becomes, okay, like, sometimes it's obvious, right? With Mahomes, it's obvious. With Burrow, it's obvious. With Josh Allen, it's obvious. With Lamar Jackson, it didn't work out that way, but it should have been obvious. Sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it's not. In Brock Purdy, it's not. Brock Purdy's not going to take a short deal. He's not going to take the same kind of deal Sam Darnold's going to take. Why would he? So you have, if you're the 49ers, this team who's absolutely, depending on what they do at quarterback, a Super Bowl contender next year. What do you do? What's the best path? I agree with you. I think it's probably Purdy, but I don't know that that's the best path for the next 3 or 4 years.
Why not? Like, why wouldn't that be the best path 3 to 4 years from now?
Because I think he showed us last year he's not a sure thing. That's why. That's all it is. Like, I don't think he's a sure thing.
He also took him to a championship 2 years ago.
I get it.
Right?
I get it.
And so it's very easy.
So did Jimmy Garoppolo.
You're right. I think it's very easy for teams to, you know, play that "what have you done for me lately" game, and I get it. I get it to an extent, but man, what's a better option out there right now for you than signing Brock Purdy long term? Because I don't nothing's a sure thing. Even if Brock Purdy's not a sure thing, nothing else is a sure thing, and the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
No, it's not always greener, but it only costs you money for 1 year, is the thing.
Like, but then you have to go back and do it again. You have to go back and figure it out again.
No, I get it. I totally get it. But they did it again. Like, they did it with Brock Purdy after they did it with Jimmy Garoppolo. And so it's
a dangerous game to play. Dangerous game to play.
If you're, it is, but you also, so is paying a quarterback that you know isn't good enough to be paid that way. Would you, like, look at what the Cowboys are going to deal with now with Dak Prescott after that second.
But we can't compare Brock Purdy to Dak Prescott because Brock Purdy took the Niners to a championship. Like,
you can compare what they meant to their team to what Dak was doing for the Cowboys early in his career. You absolutely can. The 49ers are a better team than the Cowboys were in those years, but Brock Purdy definitively is not better than what Dak Prescott was 4 years into his career. He's not. I mean, he's about the same, honestly. They're very similar. So, like, I think it's just, it's interesting. I would also do Purdy. Like, if it was me, I would hope like hell I could do it for not resetting the quarterback market, because that might be what he asks for. And I don't think I'd do that if I were the 49ers. I don't think I'm resetting the market with him, which may be what it takes. And so at that point, it's like, okay, if that's not going to, and this is back to the original point of this conversation, if that's not what we're going to do, then of all of these other guys we're talking about, which one's your favorite? And that's what I think is the fun game of this offseason. If it's not Purdy for that team especially, then which one do you want? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if I wouldn't take Carr on it. And I know people will want to jump through their screen and strangle me for saying that. But what he's done is not different than what Brock Purdy's done. Like, they're similar. Like, he can manage a great offense. And so
I think it also depends upon what the short-term and long-term strategy is for that particular team. Are they okay with a one-year Band-Aid because they've got a plan in the draft, or they can look in 2 years and see who the free agent quarterbacks are and they feel like they've got the cap situation to go out and make a major run at whoever. I don't know who it is, but like I think that plays a large part in it as well.
Sure.
If you feel like you've got a pretty secure and set long-term plan and you need a one-year guy and then you're going to go and reset everything, or maybe you feel like your window is closing, and that may be a little bit with the Niners. We know the injuries that those guys have faced that are the skill position guys, and, you know, Debo's probably out, and, you know, all these different things. Is their window closing? So is it time for a reset? And I do think that can be part of it too. Like, okay, we have 1 year left in this window, and then we're going to have to probably reset other places on the team too. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to be saddled with Brock Purdy while we're rebuilding everything else. We would just like to have a fresh restart entirely. Well, then, yeah, maybe at that point you walk away from Brock Purdy and you bring in somebody for a year, as long as you've got a pretty set plan on what you want to do in the long-term future.
Yeah, and I do think their window's closing, by the way. Debo wants a trade. Christian McCaffrey's getting older. Like, their window is – it's still very open and very much could win a Super Bowl. But I don't think their long-term future is the same as the Chiefs, for instance. Like, I don't think their longevity will stretch out quite as far as a team like the Chiefs or the Bills or the Ravens, some teams like that. And largely it's because those teams all have quarterbacks that you're good with for a long time. And the Niners don't. I mean, maybe people are that good with Brock Purdy. I love Brock Purdy. I love his story. I love that he played at Iowa State. Loved his last pick. Not sure that I think he's that dude yet. But it's not my decision that I've got to make, thankfully. And if you're a fan of a team that doesn't have to make it, just be thankful, right? The greatest gift in sports is a good quarterback. I'm telling you, like, to not have to, like, the no doubt about it, quarterbacks are such a gift to a sports fan. We are happy to be joined by Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, our K-State insider. Fitz, I propose we all go find a groundhog today and punt it. How's the weather up in Manhattan?
Let's put it this way. I texted you, I'm doing audio only because I'm not getting out of bed all day. I'm going to just hide here under the sheets with two dogs and be happy. It's currently negative 10.
Negative 10. We're at, we're about negative 8, I think. Record lows today. Hope everybody's out there staying warm. To those of you out working through it, we appreciate having you here with us. We've got, you know, some college hoops back here tonight for us at Wichita State. K-State up there, though, you got to wait a minute, right? It's been a long week to sit and think about the disappointment in Utah. A lot different in the disappointment than, you know, the disappointment we saw early in the season, but two losses nonetheless. It's an interesting dynamic now, Fitz. There are about nine Big 12 teams who will, in my opinion, compete for one, maybe two at-large spots, and their resumes are all very similar. I think the Big 12, after the top and obvious five, will get, you know, probably two more, and there are seriously nine of the other 11 teams in the league that could make a case over the next couple of weeks to have them.
That's incredible. It's amazing. The parity in this conference, that a team like Utah, which I don't know if it's in year nine.
They for sure are.
Yeah. Can just decimate both K-State and KU. Look, BYU's pretty good. We knew that. Utah's playing some pretty good basketball all of a sudden. Unfortunately for them, they're out of Kansas schools. Sure. So they'll have to find their own way beyond that. But, yeah, it's incredible how the ebbs and flows of this conference. And unfortunately for K-State fans, the ebb has returned for Kansas State basketball.
But it's not the same. It's not the same as it was. Like that, for me, like the two losses in Utah, for instance, are nothing like the loss to Oklahoma State and Houston in back-to-back games, right? Like, it's a totally different – it's unfortunate that it took so long to get there, but it, you know, it shouldn't be as detrimental as it was, but it is what it is. Now they get a chance. They'll, you know, probably be favored, I think, in four of their next five. Maybe not at Cincinnati, but they'll probably be favored in four of those five. And then they close with Iowa State at home. And you know – I would say that if they win all of those in a couple of games in the tournament, I actually think they'd get in. But even if it is just tournament or bust, don't you feel a whole lot better about their chances to do that? K-State could beat anybody in a Big 12 tournament environment.
They could. It is interesting that this year's Big 12 tournament is going to be very important for about half the conference. And it's... You're right. My new motto is let's see them win the next four, and then we can talk about this, because they are winnable games, and they're capable of that, but they were also capable of winning the two in Utah, and they didn't get it done. Now, UCF appears to be falling apart. Colorado has actually beaten UCF in the last week or two. So... there's some real opportunity here. You're right. Cincinnati's the best of the bunch, and it all starts Sunday with Arizona State, as this Monday to Sunday break really kind of adds up for Kansas State. But you know what? Maybe they needed the time to reflect on how they played so well and then stopped, and what they need to do to get back to it.
I like the amount of time off. Honestly,
I think so too.
I think it's a good break. I mean, that game against Utah, It's felt like a lifetime ago, but that, man, to get dominated down low like they did, which we could kind of see coming a little bit, but to still be there, and you're a Doug McDaniel missed layup and Coleman Hawkins mental error away from being right there. It's unfortunate that those two guys made those two mistakes right there at the end. But otherwise, I thought it was a pretty inspired performance against Utah, because that's a bad matchup for K-State stylistically, a big physical team like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is tough. People said, you know, David Gasson didn't have a very good trip. Well, he went up against some big dudes, some true bigs, which have always given problems. So you're right. K-State has a better sense of identity even when they don't play to it. And, you know, they got back to it late in that game and just didn't make some plays. And I have no explanation for the Coleman Hawkins.
Yeah, it's just, it's a mistake. It was just a mental mistake. I don't think he needs any excuses. Like, he screwed up. McDaniel screwed up before that by missing the layup to begin with. So they both screwed up. But that's going to happen. And it's just unfortunate that it cost them as much as it potentially cost them. I hate that it did, because I thought they had a really good effort. What do you know? Speaking of Coleman Hawkins, man, he can barely get up and down the floor. Is he okay?
We don't know what's going on with him. And I actually think K-State was in that game because he got into foul trouble and they had to take him off the court. I just
because
don't
he's,
think
because he's hurt.
Well, I don't. If he's that hurt, get him off the court because
he looks like it.
He was not, and it went beyond physical, as you mentioned it.
Yeah.
There wasn't full mental engagement in this game either. He had a little flurry towards the end, and then he made a boneheaded mistake that all of us who grew up playing basketball, you know, learned in junior high. It's hard to explain. So, yeah, if it's physical, hopefully he can get healed up this week. Hopefully it's enough time to get him rested up. But that looked as much mental as anything to me.
All right, Fitz, I want to ask you, Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. I think you love this, you know, this state, what it provides as much as anybody else. I know you're a K-State guy, but I know you also appreciate what Kansas has been able to do under Bill Self for 25 years as much as anybody else does. It's so wild to me that the low point of a 25-year run, with the exception of like early tournament exits, is maybe a 20-win season. Isn't that crazy to think about, first of all? Like, it's almost put this entire thing into perspective that the reaction to this is as visceral as it is. Not that it shouldn't be, but like, man, literally every team in the country, every single one of them, would be happy to have a 25-year run where your worst year was 20 wins and a 7 seed.
Yeah. Yes. But, you know, you get acclimated to your weather, and their weather has been sunny in 75 for a long time because he is a brilliant coach. And I'm going to be honest here. I just think the talent is getting dispersed differently across college basketball now with NIL, and kids have greater options because now it is actual money being handed out. So I think the rules are going to come back a little bit in KU's favor when NIL moves in-house. But in part of this, I think the rest of the Big 12 is looking at Kansas basketball fans, and they're essentially complaining because their Bentley was repossessed. And the rest of us are out here in Subarus and, you know, Kias. And we're like, okay, that's great. I'm sorry this horrible thing happened to you. Now you get to go to the NCAA tournament as punishment.
No, nobody inside that program's asking for sympathy. This is one where I don't think it's symptomatic of the changes in college basketball. Here's what I think. I think we all overvalued their key three players that they brought back. I think the team has the same issues it had a year ago because the players are largely the same. And while we all looked at the other players to say, oh, if they can just get better players around those three, they're going to be great. The reality is those three just don't fit together very well. And so now we've had to see that over a couple of years, that because that's a constant here. And now there's a psychological issue, which is a totally separate issue. But I think X's and O's wise, I just don't think those three are the right fit. And they've had them for 2 years. And you've seen 2 years of sort of struggle. Remy Martin helped them win a national championship and was a transfer player. Right. He was the prize transfer player that year. So I guess I'm not ready to look at this holistically and say, Bill Self's not going to be able to survive in the new era of college basketball. I just don't believe that.
Well, I think he's going to get acclimated, but also we have to calculate in NIL signings have a rate of failure that is a little bit surprising. And I think KU's going through that. I think they brought in some guys that haven't been nearly as productive as they hoped. And, you know, I noticed this when K-State played KU in Manhattan. I don't know why I needed to see it in person to really let this soak in, but they don't have that dude that scares you. They don't. Hunter Dickinson's a load. The other guys are really good, but they don't have that outside shooter or that playmaker or that elite NBA talent on the wing that just scares the daylights out of you. They just don't have the weapons that they have. And whether that's NIL driven or something else, I'm not sure, but it is certainly apparent when that team lines up on the court. I think we saw it this weekend. KU just doesn't scare people right now. And that used to be part of their aura. They just scared you by coming on the court because they were so athletic and they could make so many plays. This team ain't scaring anybody right now.
No. No, not right now, and they should. And maybe they get back to it. What do you think the chances are? That this is still a team that beat Duke. It's a team that beat Michigan State. It's a team that beat Iowa State by 20.
Yeah.
What do you think the chances are Self can work a little magic here
before
the end of the season?
I've known this. I'm never going to write off Bill Self. You know, maybe he'll get down towards the end and just really just hone in his attention on the guys that are really bought in. I'm not sure what's going on, but when you have a bunch of guys in your locker room who are probably unhappy about not playing, it gets a little difficult to be the head coach.
Back to the Cats. Yep. Arizona State, UCF, Colorado, Cincinnati, home against Iowa State. Fill in the blank. K-State wins blank of the next five.
I'm going to go with three.
Okay.
And you need five.
For sure. You need five.
I would really respect what Kansas State did at Iowa State, but they're going to be coming in here with their hair on fire at the last game of the season. I mean, it's going to be extremely difficult to win that game, but K-State's capable of it. We've seen it. And also, they've really struggled winning on the road. So I think they might get one of these road games, but lose the other. And I think this is a really winnable stretch here for K-State over the next four until they play Iowa State. Get these four, and then let's talk about the NCAA tournament. Until then, you got work to do.
Well, and we can end with this, Fitz. Let's say they don't win all five, and it becomes a win the Big 12 tournament or bust. Then the next question becomes, not are they lucky enough to do that? Are they good enough, actually good enough to go win something like the Big 12 tournament? I actually think they are.
Yeah, it comes down to matchups and how the bracket falls.
Yeah.
I think NC State last year put everything on the table for teams like Kansas State.
Yeah, that's a good
one.
It's
all right there.
That's a good one.
You're not dead yet. I mean, you got the tournament, and then you can play your way through the bracket, and I'll be darned, it is possible to get to the Final Four with a resume like Kansas State. It was unbelievable, but it happened. So let's see, you know, what some of these teams have. There's a lot of Big 12 teams in a similar predicament.
I don't think there's anybody that doesn't think K-State's built. I think everybody thinks they could make an NCAA tournament run if they could just get there the way they're built, the way they can, you know, fill it up from three at times and all those things. Fitz, GoPowerCat.com has us all covered. Go find the work there. Go find Fitz on X at Life of Fitz. We appreciate it. Stay warm today. Stay hibernating.
Okay. Yep, I'm going to add a blanket just for my own personal safety.
Have to do it. To do it. There goes Tim Fitzgerald. That'll do it for a Thursday. We get the Shockers tonight. Let's see if they can get something done here, Tommy. I'm excited about Shocker basketball again. Didn't take much for me. I think fans probably feel the same way. It took a couple of good weeks of basketball, and here we are.
Yeah, it's a tough stretch coming up for the Shockers. Of course, they're, you know, continuing with teams that are above them in the conference standings. They've got to get another one on the road in Boca Raton. So we'll see how it goes tonight.
Del Boca Vista.
I love it.
For your Seinfeld fans out there. All right, that coverage begins at 7 o'clock. It's a late start out there on the East Coast. You'll hear on KYN. You get Butler basketball on KFH at 7:15. And how about a little late-night Shocker baseball out in Hawaii at 10:15? How about that? Stay tuned for it all. We'll be back tomorrow to break it all down. See you then.